BBC Sounds. Music, radio, podcasts.
This podcast contains some strong language and some intimate conversation. We're going to let it all hang out. This is Fashion Fix, the podcast that shows us how to get our fashion fix while fixing the world and each other. Hi, I'm Charlie Howard. I'm a model and an activist. I used to think fashion was broken, and it very nearly broke me with body shame, bulimia, and yes, bitchiness. A lot of this was down to the very fixed ideas about gender that still dominate the mainstream. In my experience, that women need to be skinny, but with curves in the right places. Sexy, but not too sexy. Tall, but not too tall, etc., etc. Trying to be this unreal woman made me a very unhappy woman. Believe me. Your hips are still massive. You'll never make it as a model at this rate. And no wonder that guy hasn't called you back. Yep, that's the kind of toxic rubbish the voice in my head used to come up with. That's why I call it the brain deviant. For all its flaws, the body positivity movement helped me embrace a different version of feminine beauty. Curvier, cuddlier, but what if male and female beauty didn't have to be so, well, binary? What if we could mix and match clothes from across the gender spectrum, or dress without gender at all, if we felt like it? Well, we can. Like Billie Eilish being sparkly and baggy at the Brits. Or Harry Styles in a tutu with tattoos on Instagram. Like Janelle Monáe killing it in tuxes and top hats on the red carpet. So, is Gen Z gender fluid? Well, someone who definitely makes me feel positive about a more fluid fashion future is Kyle DeVol.
When you put on an outfit or, you know, a new face, like, you can be whoever you want to be.
Stylist, model and mentor through his own YouTube channel, Cake, Kyle has dressed Bruno Mars and Rita Ora, walked in London Fashion Week for Pam Hogg, and he's a fragrance ambassador for Jean-Paul Gaultier. We got together for a chat before the coronavirus lockdown. Oh, and while I was waiting for him, I might have got a bit carried away in the studio.
I've got this microphone, I just want to start rapping, bruv. Enter the dragon.
Hello.
Oh, hi.
Hi,
Gorge. Hi. Hi. I was like, when I have this.
How
I
feel, are you?
I'm good, how are
good
you?
Good to see you, I'm good.
Oh, you look so good.
Oh, I don't feel
you
it.
You smell nice.
Thanks. Where am I sitting, Melissa?
Oh, bag.
It's cute, right?
How are you?
Good.
Oh, you look so good. Fit, man.
So this top is so unforgiving. It's like from the 70s and I'm scared I'm going to set on fire.
It's so good to like to hang out, though.
I know.
Yeah. So I am Kyle's like biggest fan.
I'm your biggest fan.
I have a really big crush on you.
Oh, I have a crush on you. I literally said if I have a girlfriend, it'll be Charlie.
Yay! How are you anyway?
I'm good. I'm good. I literally like spent the weekend Mary Kondoing my bedroom and my wardrobes and stuff, and it's amazing.
How's that work? I need to probably
really
do that.
Really good. So good. Like, I rolled everything, threw loads of stuff away. Sold some stuff that I'm like, never going to wear ever again. So yeah. There's a place, it's a vintage store. They have like such amazing pieces and they literally just take it off your hands and give you like 15%.
Vintage shop's the best.
For sure.
So I got some designer shoes for 100 quid.
Bargain.
Yeah.
Bargain. Yeah. Going shopping with you.
Yeah, man. I'll take you out of town. Okay. Da-da-da-da. Right, so Kyle, welcome to Fashion Fix.
Thank you for having me. I'm so excited to be here.
I'm so glad you've come on. Obviously not the first time we've met. So the first time I met Kyle, I saw you after the Henry Holland show.
Yeah.
You probably thought I was such a stalker. And I was like, hi, and I really fancy you.
I just literally, you know what, it took me like 10 minutes to register who you were because on your Instagram, you look so tall. Like,
oh,
I
really?
Thought you were going to be really tall. Right. So I was like, oh, wait, that was, and that's why I ran after you. And I was like, wait, you're Charlie.
No, I'm a bit short.
I envy short people because you've got little feet and everything looks good in petite sizes.
But so I saw you there first, but now I've sat here with you.
Yay!
One-on-one.
Yay.
Monday morning, fresh
and early.
Like, trying to wake up, yeah. So let's just get into you for people who might not know. So which came first for you, styling other people or being styled as a model?
Styling other people.
Right.
Came first. Fashion's always been a passion for me, like, since I was a child. I've always used it as kind of like a form of escapism because I just felt like, you know, when you put on an outfit or, you know, a new face, like, you can be whoever you want to be. Mm. And I spent most of my childhood not wanting to be who I was. So I started to use makeup and clothing as like a creative outlet to be that person that I thought I wanted to be, you know?
And whereabouts are you from?
Ladbroke Grove, West London.
Oh, you're from, okay. I didn't know that.
Yeah.
But let's talk about your outfit.
My look.
Very fabulous today. We always ask everyone what they're wearing today.
So today I am wearing a 1970s floral shirt in like a khaki green, black, yellow and cream flower pattern.
It's very flower power.
Thank you.
Yeah.
And then I've got on a flare jumpsuit that never actually went into production. So it's a one-off.
Oh, babes.
Oh, yeah.
It's a bit fancy.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah.
And then I've just got some Vivian Westwood trainers, courtesy of my boyfriend for Christmas.
Oh, see? The sort of boyfriend I need.
Well, he gets 70% off because he works there. So it's like, yeah.
Yeah. There we go. But you are also known for getting your legs out in a dress, aren't you? So is this a typical look for you?
To be honest, I always go off a mood and like how I feel that day. So like if I wake up in the morning and I'm like, fancy having my legs out today, then I'll wear a dress or a skirt. If I feel like, you know, I'm like, I really am into like the whole 70s aesthetic. So
well, you've got usually, very 70s hair.
Yeah, always the little flick out. I love it. but yeah, it kind of changes on the daily base.
Do you remember the first time you wore a dress? And how it made you feel?
Yeah, for sure. I remember the first time I wore a dress, I was probably about 6 years old. And my sister, my elder sister, Charlene, used to look after me a lot while my mum was at work. And she took me round to one of her friend's houses. And do you remember you used to get like those weird like life-size dolls that were like in like dresses and they had like little shoes, but they would have been like the same size as like a 4-year-old
girl.
You know
what? My nan had one in her house and it freaked me out all the time. So just like turn it around to the
wall. I can't stare at her.
Had like a pink knitted jumper and like weird knitted shoes. And I was just like, oh no.
Well, they basically left me to play in my sister's friend's daughter's like playroom. Like they left me for like, I think like a couple hours. And by the time they'd come back, I'd like had the dress off the doll. I had shoes on and the dress. I'm pretty sure it was a wedding outfit and I had the veil on and I was calling myself Princess Diamond. And I was just walking around the bedroom. I think that was probably the first time that I wore a dress and fell in love with it.
Princess Diamond.
Princess
would be
Diamond.
A great rap name.
Wouldn't it?
Yeah.
Wouldn't it?
It'd be amazing.
Yeah, Princess Diamond.
And how did that go down with your family? Were they cool with it?
I mean, my sister, I think at the time, she was a bit like, why are you wearing a dress? Da, 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 da. But that was more probably out of embarrassment for her because she was a teenager and it was her friend's house and it was like the 90s and no one really, you know, was open and stuff then. But Matilda, who I call my mum, who adopted me when I was between the age of 12 and 13, she was, the real kind of pushing force in my life to kind of just be like, you know, whatever you want to wear, you can wear. Whoever you want to be, you can be. Anything in life's possible. So I never really felt like from her that who I class as my family, I never really felt any type of, what's the word, like negativity or any type
judgment.
Of like judgment. Exactly. No judgment from her. It was more just outside of the home than like at school and out and about with your friends on the weekend and stuff like that.
My dad's adopted and I think sometimes talking about it is
100. I spent
really
so long, like honestly, I spent so long like pushing it to the back of my mind and just thinking that, you know, people are going to judge you for it. And at the same time, I still think there is a lot of stigma behind kids in care. And so I did, you know, I didn't want to tell anyone and it was such a like hidden dark secret for me. But now I'm so open with it. And to be honest, when I did start speaking about it, it really did help me. It really was like therapy because it was such a big part of my life, you know, and to like not accept that really did put like a dark cloud over me.
Were you adopted with your sisters?
No. So basically, I was with my mum until about the age of 6. And the family unit crumbled. She's had like an ongoing battle with drugs and alcohol. I was taken out of that family unit and I was placed into foster homes and children's homes and stuff. And I think until about the age of 8, then I got back with her and like they tried to build the family unit again, which I think was the worst thing ever because it just got worse. And then I ended up back in care again. And it was like an ongoing cycle, I'd say, for like majority of a good 10 years of my childhood. And then I was with another foster carer and Matilda was like my day carer, if that makes sense, because my other foster carer had to go to work in the day. And I just fell in love with her. Like I'd never experienced that type of genuine love from somebody. I was like, nope, I want to be with Matilda. I want to be Matilda. And social services were like, well, she's not a registered like full-time foster carer. Like you can't be with her. But luckily I had a wonderful social worker who really fought my case and was like, this is where Kyle needs to be. So they started sending her on courses and stuff. And then I think after the 2-year process, like, yeah, they just let her adopt me.
Wow.
And she became my full-time mummy.
It's amazing, by the way. Like, yeah, it's just really heartwarming.
Yeah, I owe her so much. Like, she's my world. She really is.
Oh, bless her. And you've obviously had then like a Cinderella story.
Mm-hmm.
Now you're like in the fashion world, you know, you're doing all these amazing things. So a couple of months ago, mm-hmm. I saw you in this incredible white dress. Have you got the picture? Yeah.
Yeah, I did love that look. That might have been my favourite look of 2019.
You look stunning, yeah.
Thank you, darling.
Yeah, I love that one.
I've been like sworn to secrecy.
Okay.
Because the person that had this dress made apparently never actually paid for it. And then it was sold on to the person that I rented it off for the Marie Claire Awards.
Oh, so it's a bit of drama.
It's a bit of drama.
Okay.
So a good friend of mine, Stephen Phillip, has like an amazing personal archive collection. And that was part of it. Babe, I'll come with me. I'll hook you up. You'll love him. Yes. And that dress was, like, amongst others, was hanging.
It's form-fitting at the top, a bit corsety.
So, yeah, it was boned in the top, and then the rest, I think it has, like, a underskirt underneath it, and then it's more of a kind of, like, a crushed crepe, because when I saw it hanging there initially, I was like, does it need to be steamed? And he was like, no, it's meant to be
that's
like
just
that.
The vibe.
It's just the vibe. And also, there's, like, I don't know if you can see in the picture, but there's, like, kind of, like, a red washed out kind of stainage on it. I can't remember what the collection was called, but that was the whole thing, to look like wine thrown on the dress.
Oh, okay.
But so I'd walked into the vintage store, and there was many other dresses that Stephen got out for me. And I just looked at that and I was like, I need to try that on. Put it on, and no word of a lie, it was like a glove. It fitted me like a dream, and I was like, this is it.
I mean, it looked like it was made for you.
Oh, thanks.
Did you get to keep it?
Like, no, I gave it back. Like, I know I'm very lucky that I get to borrow things from people and give them back, because I am, like, you know, in this day and age, all about sustainability and not wasting and not buying, because, like, you know how hard it is. You get criticised if you wear the same thing twice, which sounds so shallow, but
yeah,
that's how society is.
In a census-wide poll for the charity Barnardo's, 37% of 16 to 24-year-olds questioned said they'd be embarrassed to wear an outfit for a special occasion more than once. What? I just don't care anymore. Like, you know, someone's like, oh, have you worn that before? Like, I had this amazing denim jumpsuit, which I love. And someone was like, oh, you're wearing that again? And I was like, yeah, because I own a washing machine.
Right, exactly. Like, and it's a good jumpsuit, yeah. And I enjoy wearing it. It makes me feel great.
Yeah.
I think people need to get over that.
Yeah, they
like, for instance, this jumpsuit, I've had this for about, I don't know, since like 2013. And she gets a good wear out of her. I wear all the time. Wear in summer, wear in winter.
Very versatile.
Very, very versatile, like me.
Exactly, like you. You wore that dress to the Marie Claire Awards.
Mm-hmm.
Were you presenting an award?
I was presenting the Sustainability Innovator Award. And that was won by a lovely lady called Tara Button, who has a website that sells over 2,000 sustainable products.
Wow.
Yeah, really good. And she's got some books out and stuff. So she won the award and I was hosting it first. So I just felt it was right to wear something that had some history. That dress is like from the early 90s and it still is like, looks brand new.
Yeah, just get that vintage out.
Mm-hmm,
yeah,
for sure.
Doesn't always
and I just
new.
Feel like I like when I wear something that has a story to it. Do you know what I mean? And I like the fact that there's only one of that. And like, I hate that whole, you know, when you go somewhere and you're like, oh God, that person has the same thing on as me. Like, I've really stopped shopping on the high street.
That's happened to me
it's
once.
Not for me. Someone's worn the same thing as
yeah,
you.
It was so awkward.
Oh my God, tray tale, tell me what happened.
It was just this party for this very big online brand and they were giving clothes out and someone had made a mistake and given me and this other woman the same outfit. So I turned up and I was just like, oh my God. And I had to run to the loo and just try and...
Whitney's like, good thing I've become prepared for this. And she rips the bottom off and it's like shorter. And Mariah's like, me too. And then hers is at like an A-line.
I've
it's
never
amazing.
Seen this.
Oh my
I feel
God,
like I need to YouTube
link.
It.
It's so good.
Yeah, I need to YouTube this. So some days you obviously get to wear these beautiful ball mm-hmm. gowns. And then other days, I'm sure you probably just want to wear your trackies.
100% tracksuits are back out. Like, I'm so excited to be rocking my Juicy Couture around London and not wait.
Paris Hilton.
They just feel so good. I was actually questioning wearing it today. And I was like, because the jacket's quite cropped. And I was like, it's cold. Do I want my midriff out today? No, I don't.
But you could just live like your early noughties life in them.
100% of a good pair of trainers, or even if it's summer, like an open-toed sandal, may I say?
Yeah. Okay, so this isn't something recent for you, but recently it feels like the rest of the industry are catching up with gender fluid fashion.
Mm-hmm.
So, for example, in December, the Queer Eye star Jonathan Van Ness, who mm-hmm. I met at the weekend, is so nice.
He's a babe.
Such a babe. Became the first non-female cover star for UK Cosmo
Cosmopolitan.
In 35
Styled
years.
Styled by Amy Bannerman, who's amazing.
Yeah,
she's
I know,
so
she's
fabulous.
Lovely. Pictured wearing a massive peach-coloured frock with frills and long hair and a beard.
Mm-hmm.
So what was your reaction when you saw that?
It really warmed my heart. I was so happy to see it.
It was a great
cover. Yeah, it was an amazing cover. It was a beautiful cover. It was wonderful. And just like, I know that if I was my 14-year-old self again and I had seen that, that would have just helped me so much more. I would have been like, God, there's people out there that are like me. Because the thing is, I think with this country, we're so obsessed with putting people into boxes. Mm. Like, I constantly get messages on Instagram being like, are you trans or are you non-binary? And the thing is, like, no, I have friends that are both trans and non-binary, but I can't fit into a box. Like, I identify as my pronouns are him and his, but it's like, clothes are there to have fun with. Like, who's to say that a guy can't wear a dress? Who's to say that, you know, a girl can't wear something seen masculine in the public eye? You know, it's like, I don't know, we just feel like, instead of just letting it be, we feel like we have to control things.
It's very true. So Jonathan Van Ness identifies as non-binary,
yeah,
and gender non-conforming, but chooses to use the pronouns he, him, his, which is what you were just talking about.
Like, that the other day I got a message on Instagram and the woman was like, do you identify as trans or are you just a feminine boy? And I wrote back to her and I was like, I'm just a feminine boy. Like, I definitely have equal amounts of masculine and feminine energy within me, but I'm very comfortable and very happy with being a male, if that makes sense.
Yeah, 100%.
And people are like, you should put your pronouns in your bio on Instagram and stuff like that, and I was just like, it just doesn't feel right for me. So I spent like a whole week like googling like different terms and stuff, and genderqueer for me just felt like the nearest thing, without putting myself into that box, it was the nearest thing that I felt sat right with me.
And I feel like now, it's amazing that you can just talk about your sexuality and everything like that. But again, it's like people do really try to be like, well, what are you? What are you?
100%.
Yeah.
It's so frustrating. And it's like, I even on a daily basis will experience some type of either homophobia or prejudice or something. But
really?
Yeah, definitely. Like, even on the train today, like walking around with my handbag, I get like a look from people. And like, it used to get me so angry and I'd always kind of turn around and try and educate that person and be like, is there a problem? But literally I found that like you do it to no avail. It gets you nowhere. So now I literally just let it go over my head and it's on them and it's not on me, because I know that I'm living my truth and I'm happy and I'm content. And if that bothers you, that's on you, babe. It's
and
not on me.
And they're probably not living their best
exactly.
lives.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
What's probably the worst experience that you've had?
The worst experience I ever had probably was when I was about 15 years old and I was walking home back to Matilda's house. It was dark. It was winter. And there was a group of boys, literally about 5 minutes away from my house, and they were like, gay boy, across the road. And I thought, I'm not going to reply to them. And then they came up to me, one of them pushed me, and he was like, oh, are you a fag? Are you a fag? Do you want to suck my dick? Do you want to suck my dick? And I was literally like, I don't know, like, I just froze, and I couldn't reply, and I'm mouthy. Like, I can give my own, but there was something about 10 boys surrounding you that was, like, petrifying. So I just started to run, and they chased me all the way to my house. I got in the house, I slammed the door, and they started kicking the door and were, like, banging on the windows, and, like, Matilda had to call the police, and I think that's probably one of the scariest moments of my life. And the thing is, like, I still see a few of the boys, and to be honest, like, I walk with my head held high and they always put their heads down. So that just shows. And I know they remember what they did to me.
Yeah, they will.
And it's like, well, hon, like, I'm me and I'm living my life still. You haven't affected me. And I hope you feel bad for what you did.
And again,
you know?
What are you doing?
And what are you doing?
Okay, so last year's Met Ball theme was camp.
Mm-hmm.
Who do you think carried off the best look?
My babe, Billy Porter, killed it.
For anyone who missed it, where were you? Billy Porter was dressed in a golden catsuit and headdress, bringing Cleopatra camp to the Met Ball last year. This year, the event was cancelled, but even lockdown didn't stop Billy joining forces with Vogue for hashtag Met Gala Challenge to recreate Met looks from stuff found around the house, like cardboard and Christmas lights. Yes, really. I, unfortunately, didn't have a go. I'm not really good at fancy dress.
I met him that day.
I know, I was sat a few seats away and I was so scared to say anything.
I was such a girl fan that day. I'm actually looking back, I'm a bit embarrassed. I was like shouting across like, Billy! And he turned and I was like, do you mind if I take a picture with you? And he was like, sure.
Oh my God. Really good. Everyone was just fangirling.
I love him so much. And like, obviously his whole ethic and everything that he stands for is just so close to my heart because he's a feminine man that like uses fashion as a creative outlet.
Very successful.
Very successful and is true to himself. And I think that really shows when somebody is true to themselves and they're living their truth.
And then people get really excited when they see Harry Styles wearing lace, don't they?
I'm sorry, but I've worn like more camp, more glamorous things to Tesco's. Like, I just really like, and like, nothing against Harry, because I think he's a really nice guy and I think he's a sweetheart. We love you, Harry. but it just wasn't fashion forward and it wasn't camp for me. It was a sheer shirt with a black suit. Like, it was like, do you know what I mean? Like, and even like Timothée Chalamet in that silk Dior suit, and everyone was like, oh, it's so feminine, it's so gorgeous. And it's like, it wasn't, like, it's not pushing any boundaries.
And it's like, what makes something feminine versus, you know, like where's the line?
I just feel like we have this, we also have this culture where it's like, now everyone is like ripping the LGBT community, whether it's like pop stars with their drag inspired stage looks, or like these boys that are like, you know, painting their nails and wearing chiffon and silk and being like, I'm feminine. And it's like, feminine for me is more of a feeling. It's more of an energy. I don't think it's a gender. I don't think it's a sex. I think it's a feeling and it's an energy. And I don't think they are portraying that.
So do you feel they're sort of appropriating it?
100%. 100%.
And taking it from the community.
100%. And not giving credit where credit's due.
Right. You know, some people might say that that's the beauty of gender fluid fashion, that there are no rules and that everyone's free to experiment. So how do you feel about that?
I mean, yeah, no, I agree. I agree with that. But it's like, follow it through to your everyday life then, you know, live it. Live it, embody it. Like, I'm so obsessed with Sam Smith at the moment. Because Sam's really just like, I'm going to be this person. They started just walking around with those massive chunky heels. And for them to be strong and to be able to live their truth is just so inspiring. Yeah, I just think they're amazing. Honestly, I take my hat off to them. Nice. Really do. We love you, Sam.
We love you, Sam.
Got me through many a heartbreak.
Oh, many heartbreaks. I listen to it every time. Like, you have a fallout with a boy, you just put it on.
Literally, yeah. Literally.
Yeah.
No, I'm not the only one.
So funny. I can see what you mean about the whole, like are you really following it through? But then there's another side of me that thinks, does it take straight white males to embrace this feminine side themselves for the world to wake up?
To bring it mainstream.
Yeah.
But do you know what? I totally agree with what you say, because also, do you remember the Love magazine cover that David Beckham did?
Mm.
And he had the green eyeshadow. Like, for me, like, that is what you're saying. Like, do you know what I mean? Like, for someone like David Beckham to do that, like, really inspired me, because I was like, your fans are so macho.
Yeah, exactly.
So for you to do that, really, like, that's positive. Like, it's a positive projection of what's going on in the LGBT community. Or even with, like, that's the thing, you don't have to be, you know, gay or gender non-conforming or non-binary. Like, makeup is makeup. And, like, even if you look back into, like, I don't know, the Renaissance times, like, men wore wigs, men wore powdered wigs, and like...
Well, pink was for men.
And blue was for girls in the Victorian times, 100%. Yeah. Like, so it's like, these are all just forms of control that have been set in place by some man that's like probably so decomposed that he's bones now. Like, and everyone's still living by it. And it's like, who says?
Yeah. Obviously, gender fluid fashion isn't just about dresses. So we've seen people like Cara Delevingne and Phoebe Waller-Bridge wearing tuxes.
Mm-hmm.
And then on the more casual end of the fashion spectrum, Billie Eilish loves baggy hoodies.
Mm-hmm.
Why do you think it's traditionally been more acceptable for women to wear men's clothes than the other way around?
This is a question that I do, that resonates in my head quite a bit. And I do think about quite a lot, because, you know, it is so much more open. But at the same time, I think it's because women have been suppressed for so many years that... If a man or society or anybody came for them for wearing a suit, all hell would break loose. Do you know what I mean? I feel like suits are a very powerful thing. And to be honest, in my personal view, women look better in suits than men do. Like, it fits them better. The form, the shoulder, it really looks great on a woman. But just like, I feel like I look better in a dress. And also, women have been wearing suits a whole lot longer than men have been publicly wearing dresses. Do you know what I mean? In our generation.
Yeah.
So I feel like, I mean, time is a great healer. And I feel like if we all just keep striving through, like, I do feel like in the next 10 years, hopefully sooner, that it will just be just as normal and accepted.
Yeah. It's just really interesting to me, isn't it? It's like, what makes something feminine? Who decides that, like you
exactly.
were saying? And then some brands are really embracing gender fluidity now, aren't they? So, like, Art School, whose clothes could be adjusted for changing body shapes. And then there are loads of other labels too, aren't there? Like, there's Loverboy, there's DNA.
Gypsy Sport.
One DNA, Gypsy Sport, Harris Reed. So why do you think this is happening now? Is Gen Z basically genderless? Or is this just a trend?
I don't think it's a trend. I just think we're the first generation to have the balls to do it. Do you know? But even in saying that, if you look back to the 80s or like the Westwood Crew and stuff and like the New Romantics, like this was all David Bowie, like this was all there. Like it was there before. And then obviously we were suppressed. Like, do you know Norma Kamali? Like a good friend of mine, Norma Kamali. So Norma has been dressing people since the 70s. I like Studio 54.
Norma Kamali's fashion innovations were the sleeping bag coat, the heeled sneaker, and athleisure before it was a thing. According to her website, in the 70s, half of her women's wear clients were men.
Me and I had a conversation about it, and I said, you know, what do you think the actual crucial change was? And she said it was fear. And like, obviously, when the AIDS pandemic came in the 80s and stuff, obviously, fashion is such a projection of what's going on in politics, and it kind of changed it, and everyone became a lot more scared, and people just weren't allowed to be themselves.
Yeah, because even like, you know, recently when you look at the shows with all those political messages, you're so right. It really is like indicative of what's going on.
100%.
Yeah, that is really interesting.
It's also older views, like older generations. It's not their fault, because how they think and how they see things is just literally a product of how they've been conditioned growing up, you know?
It's very true, yeah.
Whereas we had the Spice Girls. Like,
don't get me started. They're my favourite people.
Did you go to the gig?
You know what? I didn't, because there was a part of me just felt so wrong that Victoria wasn't there. But I went to
her to come down in a helicopter at any point, but she didn't. I was like, Vicky's going to come down on like a rope. She's like got her own business now. She's fashion now. She doesn't need them.
It's like, don't forget.
But we need you, Vicky. We need you.
Come back. So do you think we'll ever get to a point where we'll stop talking about menswear and womenswear and it will just be one thing?
That's my dream.
Yeah.
I hope so. I mean, and it will just like save so much, you know, a rubbish truck full of plastic is dropped into the ocean every minute.
Kyle's right. The equivalent of a rubbish truck worth of plastic is dumped in the ocean every minute, according to the Ellen MacArthur Foundation. And they said if we don't do something about it, it would be more like 2 rubbish trucks of plastic in the sea per minute by 2030 and 4 per minute by 2050.
So much waste. And I feel like if collections were narrowed down to one collection, like one fashion week, like we don't need menswear, we don't need women's, just put it all together, and we wouldn't be making as much stuff.
Since we spoke, Kyle's dream of a gender-neutral fashion week to replace London Men's Fashion Week has finally come true.
Well, even like with Men's Fashion Week, you know, there are loads of women who watch it now from the front row.
Mm-hmm.
And like, even like, you know, 3 years ago, let's say, it was just for men.
Mm-hmm. Like I said, it goes back to the control and like the putting this in a box and putting that in a box and putting this in a box. Like, I think once we get over that in the UK, it's going to be a better place.
Yeah. So you set up your own YouTube channel called Cake.
Mm-hmm.
What does that stand for?
So Cake stands for Courage for Kids and Equality. And I just basically contacted people from the LGBT community that I find inspirational.
Who do you think your best interviewee was?
Oh.
Because you've had a few. I've had Monroe Bergdorf, who I love.
Monroe definitely is one of my favourites, because whenever she speaks from her heart.
And for those who don't know, sorry, Monroe Bergdorf is a trans model and activist.
Activist, yeah.
There are some people who think that we shouldn't use labels like LGBTQ+ to describe kids because it's too early. And then other people think it's never too early to learn about different identities. So where do you sit with that?
I think it's never too early. Like, to be honest, like, obviously growing up, I've had girlfriends, like, I've slept with girls, I've been with boys, and it's like, it's all part of learning and growing. But one thing I can say is I definitely always knew I was gay from a child. You know, you feel it within you. Like, so it's never too early. It's never too early. And to be honest, I feel like maybe if I had that support and acceptance for who I was at a younger age, I might have been able to develop into the person I am today a lot quicker and not have to have gone through so much heartache and misery and depression and, you know, all those horrible things that you go through.
If you've been affected by any of the issues Kyle talks about, you can find details of organisations in the UK who offer help and support at bbc.co.uk/actionline. We'll put a link in the bio of this podcast.
So here on Fashion Fix, we always like to try and pass on some tips to our listeners about how to look good, do good and feel good. How about someone listening who's exploring their sexuality or their gender identity, maybe in a small town, not in a big city where it's probably a bit more accepted? Obviously, you know, in London, you've had your fair amount of shit, but still, you know, and they're maybe worried about expressing that through their clothes. What would you say to them?
I'd say don't let other people's insecurities hold you back. I know it's easier said than done, but the moment that you actually just start living for yourself, everything else falls into place. And it becomes kind of laughable, like other people's insecurities over the way that you project yourself. It becomes laughable, especially when you start loving yourself, like you just kind of radiate. You radiate happiness. And I think it's like, don't suppress yourself because of other people. Like, put yourself first. Mm. We have this thing in the LGBT community where it's like, you have your chosen family. I know so many people that have spent so long of their lives living for their family and for living for other people. And it's like, don't do it. You have one life and it goes bloody quick. Like, I was just literally 30 last year and I can't believe it. I felt like I was 15 like 2 days ago, you know? And it's like, don't waste your life.
And then as a stylist, what tips would you pass on to someone to help them find their own style?
Try different things. Like, I've done some looks. Like, there were some looks. Some are pretty questionable, but I did them to find what worked for me and what didn't, you know, what haircut suited me. You know, once you like find that look, you're like, oh, this is me. But you have to go through the transition of trying different things to find yourself.
Yeah.
Society's like, oh, you can't wear this if you're a bigger girl, or you can't wear that. Yes, you bloody can. You can wear whatever the hell you want if it makes you feel good.
Embrace
this is your life. Embrace yourself.
Okay, like me, you didn't come from a traditional fashion background.
Mm-mm.
So what's your advice for breaking into the industry and making your own look?
You know, my childhood was quite traumatic in certain respects, but at the same time, I wouldn't change it because it's maybe the person that I am today. And I just think, you know, the reason I've got to where I am is because I believed in myself. I know it sounds so cheesy, but it's true.
No, it's
and
not
it's
true.
Like, I felt so alone at certain points as a child. And I just realized that I am my own future. You know, I can't change my past. So I'd say to someone, you know, just get yourself out there, be yourself. Like, I met most of my connections. I'm not saying go out there and party because I did that and it wasn't great, but just, you know, like, meet people, like, talk to people, like, bite the bullet and just put yourself out there.
Yeah.
You have a solid plan of what you want to do and where you're going to get to. And like, I do a lot of manifestation boards.
Positive affirmations.
Yeah, I always do. And I'm such a firm believer, like, be strong and you'll get there. You really will.
Basically, no matter what background you come from, as long as you believe in yourself,
100% you'll get there.
It.
Especially in this day and age. Like, I think it might have been different in the 90s. I think, you know, fashion was a very middle class place to be. And, you know, you had to know this person, know that person. And it's just not that anymore. Like, creativity and talent speaks for itself.
I think so as well. You know, for me, I used to be really worried about my accent, and I'm like, I've done it on my own.
Yeah, 100, and it feels good.
I feel really inspired having you on.
Oh,
yeah,
thanks.
You're just so cheery and everything. Yeah, I just love it. Thank you so much.
It's been lovely.
Kyle DeVol, one of the most positive people I know, and someone who lives and dresses completely out of the box. And even if you don't want to swap your jeans for a dress, I think he shows us that fashion should be about being fearless. Next time, I'll be speaking to vegan activist, fellow podcaster and Harry Potter actress Evanna Lynch. Because I want to know, can you be vegan and love fashion? You've been listening to Fashion Fix, presented by me, Charlie Howard.
Okay.
And produced by her, Kirsty McQuire.
It's not a massive deal.
Our super stylish editor was Rebecca Stratford. It was a BBC Radio Arts and Events production for BBC Sounds. You can subscribe to Fashion Fix and many more Less Well Dressed podcasts on the BBC Sounds app. See you soon.
Have you had any good takeaways in lockdown?
I've only had one takeaway in lockdown, which was a lovely Indian curry. That was delicious.
That is so restrained. I think I've had one every week.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, I want more takeaways, but my mum's like, no, we're eating healthily. I'm like, oh, God. Oh, the next door neighbours went around the block and they brought everyone fish and chips.
Oh.
Yeah, as like a lockdown treat. And I thought that was very nice. So that'll be my favourite one, I think.
Do you do mushy peas where you are?
Always do mushy peas. Yeah, it's just wrong if you don't. Lots of vinegar.